Let's get into Ruth. And as we were just so rejoicing is to begin, Lord, help us to see truly these love letters that you wrote to us a long time ago. This was on the heart of God even in ages past, you know that. And I thank God that it is so true, the word of God. And Lord, he's given us an ear, and I thank God for that. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. And I thank Jesus so much that he has enlightened that eye of understanding in our hearts to see the love of Christ, because the word of God says to know the love of Christ. I thank the Lord that that knowledge, it comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And in that hearing by the word of God, there is a love that the Holy Ghost wants to shed abroad in your heart. And that Holy Ghost gives that quickening, as we talk about often, the enlightened eyes of understanding. That's his Spirit that does this. That's that leading and the ministering of the Holy Ghost. That, it again, this isn't by rote. This isn't by course. This isn't going to be by force. This is love. And it's something that only the Holy Ghost can open up and put in your heart that way. And I thank God for that. I thank God. But see, the Spirit is willing. The Spirit's always willing. And to know that. And if there's some type of a block there, don't get upset at yourself. Don't get upset at somebody else. Don't even begin to fret. You know that this is the will of God. Just ask Jesus. Just ask Jesus. It's just the same as in when you first were saved. You ask Jesus to come into your life. Never stop asking Jesus. Just ask him. Ask and you'll receive. These are things that he wants you to have more than you'd ever want to even receive them. Just ask. And this is what's so thanks to my heart to God is the beauty of his grace, the magnificence of his grace, the power of his grace. So here we have these wonderful Gentile brides. And that's what's so amazing about these precious sisters that God uses to encourage us and to show us who we are in Christ. And who we were but for Christ. And we see a pattern in all of these women. They were overlooked. They were ones that might have not been from the right family, if you will. As we're studying about Ruth, my goodness, her ancestry was from the Moabites. That was total incest with Lot and his oldest daughter. This wasn't a great heritage, all right? We can talk about how the different cities, townships, all of these different places that they came from. They weren't from, if you will, the family of God. They weren't from any of the tribes. They weren't from the Jewish people, but God. And God saw them, and God called them, and God drew them. And these women, even though there were many daughters that had done virtuously, these women excelled them all. They stepped out in that grace, and they were bold in grace. And they knew that if God has shown this to me and offered this to my life, then I'm going to take it. I'm going to go out to get it because he's told me it's there. We see the same pattern over and over and over. And the beautiful thing about these Gentile brides as well, too, they've come from every walk of life, but especially, as we've seen, we're talking from Asia and Africa and all of these different places that in a lot of ways the enemy has tried to get in and said, oh, this is a certain type of religion. And let's just be honest. I mean, there's a certain push right now that Christianity is only for white people. Don't ever let that go. You stop that and you nip it immediately. That's so ignorant. It's so demeaning to our Lord. And here we are studying the beauty of the Gentile brides. And matter of fact, I don't think we've even come across one of them yet that's a Caucasian. Think of this. See, that's the ignorance of that. But that's the intent of the devil to try to get in any way, shape, form he can. And then Christianity is demeaning to women. Oh my goodness. I believe we've been how many weeks? The one that's exalted. And matter of fact, the glory of man is the woman. Matter of fact, I had Sister Carolyn telling me why God just didn't let Adam alone because he couldn't get anything done. So he had to make a woman. I like that. My wife seconded the, never mind. But you get it. Just get the word of God. Cut the nonsense. Cut the, again, it's just, that's just the devil. Listen to the word of God. Grow up in it and rejoice. Let's be thankful. Amen. And I'm thankful for you because you love the word of God. You wouldn't be here. Now, we left off in this second chapter of Ruth in the 14th verse. And at this time, Ruth has been courted so sweetly by Boaz. I mean, immediately. She went out and she happed upon the field, happed upon Boaz's field because she went to find grace. Whenever you go out to find grace, let me tell you something, you're always going to hit the jackpot. And she happed, that word happed, remember, an appointment with fortune. When you seek grace of God, the grace of God, and you really want the grace of God, you'll find Paul's gospel. You'll hap on that fortune. And that fortune, praise God, is going to be so abundant because it's going to be Paul's gospel. That's what we're in tonight, because by his grace, we want the grace of God. We know we want to magnify the grace of God. So we see her here at the 14th verse of the second chapter. We left off. She's sitting down at Boaz's table. She's feasting on his goods. Remember, this was his field. She went out to seek grace. She went out to get his fruit. Everything was his. And she knew that it just had to be his favor that she would be able to go and to stay and, praise God, even to be invited back. But here we find, when he comes out to that field of grace, she's the one he notices. She is the one that he cannot get over. Immediately, he is drawn to her and sets her apart only for his attention. So here they are at the table. Matter of fact, he says, you come to my table to eat. But then once she's there amongst all of these others that are there with him, he is feeding her specifically the parched corn. Remember, we talked about that parched corn. In the 1800s, they even found out that it was a superfood, that you could almost live on this parched corn and nothing else. Well, praise God, that's the word of his grace. You live on that and nothing else. And that's how that superfood will make a super wife. Hallelujah for our Lord and Savior. But she ate it, she sufficed, she left. And he took incredible special care of her, and he singled her out with much kindness because she was the one that was after grace in his field. So let's pick it up in verse 15. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves and reproach her not. Now notice this, what feeding does. Feeding strengthens you. Feeding gives you inspiration. Fellowshipping with the Lord wants you to go out and get more. See, she didn't just go to his table and feast with him that night. She got back up the next day and she wanted more. She wanted to go out into that field of grace and to glean more grace. I want more of his fruit. And Boaz's complete thought and attention is still upon her. Notice this. She's mine. Let her glean. Don't disturb her. Put her in the sheaves. Now, this is something that's really exciting. You talk about exceeding abundant bounty of favor. It's because he puts her in the sheaves. She was out in his field, but now there's a difference. There's even more he wants for her. The sheaves, if you will, when they would harvest these plants, whether they would be, in this case it's barley, but if it was corn or wheat or barley, what the sheaves would be was when they would get them all cut, they would bundle them together. So what you had were these bundled amounts. They were already cut. They were already harvested, whatever you'd like to say. And they're put in these huge bundles. And so not only did he tell her and leave her in his field, not only did he tell her, go get my fruit, not only did he put her in the place where there was abundance, he put her in the place where the sheaves were. It was already collected. It was already all together. It was already ready for her just to go in there and take. There's a chosen vessel unto me, and he's the and I've given him the dispensation, the domestic of the bridal message. We have Paul's gospel. It's all been bundled together for us. You see that? And we go in there, and it's this abundance of fruit. And Paul's gospel, what it does is it makes known and plain the whole word of God. It opens up, praise the Lord, the wonders of what we're talking about tonight. That's the bridal message. That's where he has placed us, just like he did with this precious Ruth. He placed her in this abundance to just go in there and take. Notice this, and I pray we see this bounty that we have. There's no working or toiling for it. It's really just she was to show up and it was ready for you. And that's our Lord with everything. He has given us every provision. It's just to go in there and take it. It's all right there. It's ready for you to have. And I thought how glorious this is. You think about one of the most precious sheaves, if you will, in the Word of God. And that was in Joseph's dream. Amen. And he saw himself. He was the one sheave that was in the middle of all of his brothers that were these other sheaves. And their sheaves bowed down unto him. Will you be glorified together with him? I believe in the word of God. He says about that Philadelphia church. He says, I'm going to make known that I have loved thee. And I will make them come down and bow before thy feet. It's that abundant. That's the abundance of what we're talking about. This is the abundance of this word of God. Do you see how it's all layered? It's all connected. Matter of fact, it's not just connected, it's one. It's one, and it's one message, and it's love. And I thank God, as Paul's gospel, it continues to just unlock the beauty of what we have here. So, let's get on to verse 16. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them and rebuke her not. So not only again is she in the field, not only is she there to get all that fruit, not only do we have the sheaves, not only does he put her at the table and feed her, but now he says, you know what? Let fall also some handfuls of purpose. Do you think he's like head over heels for this woman? Could you imagine these fellas that he's telling all this to? Snap out of it. You know, kind of that kind of, I could just see him. Now, I'm not saying God does that to his son. Sure, they have some wonderful discussions. Lord, can I, our Father, can I go get her, you know? But if you don't see the beauty of this romance, this isn't being silly. This is the romance. Why do you think he made you? He laughs with us. He doesn't laugh at us, but if you think about it, we're kind of silly. But, that's this humanness of our Lord and the beauty of what he writes in scriptures. This reminds me of, you know, like I say, the love letters that I would write to my wife and our courtship and all of those different things. This is the heart of our God. That purity of love and that reckless abandonment, if you will. I just love you, honey. But that's the epitome of what grace is. Because we would just respond, why would you love me, Lord? Why would you care for me? And you could see Ruth was very surprised just at first to even be able to get into the field to glean. I'm a Moabitess. She keeps saying that I'm a Moabitess. I'm not from here. I'm not one of you. Matter of fact, not only am I not one of you, I'm like the worst one not of you, of the Moabites. You look down at us. We're kind of despicable. So she kind of keeps going that way. But every time she brings that up, he's got more grace. He's got more favor. He's got more love. I believe that's my life. Amen. Because he shows me this great love and this incredible love, and then there I go again. But here he goes. My grace is greater. My grace is greater. Amen, it is. And I thank him for that drawing. But see, this is what is so beautiful. Once again, you're highly favored. And it says, let fall, look at that, let fall some of the handfuls of purpose. This is grace for grace. Handfuls of purpose means bundles of spoil, bundles of riches, bundles of abundance. It's like he's pouring out double portion upon double portion upon double portion. Amen. It just keeps coming up to her and more. And no wonder the men finally, I think in this verse say, he tells them, you leave her alone. And I can see this in this, if you will, in this light. She's been given so much that the others get jealous. That's right. They get jealous. They say, it's kind of like the daughters of Jerusalem. They tried to discourage the Shulamite, didn't they? Because they were jealous. Jealousy can come from a lot of different things, but a lot of times it's because people are ignorant. Sometimes it's because they're young. We understand that. But oftentimes it's legal Christians that are very bothered by those that love and take more grace. Yeah, that's true. So, let's get on to verse 17. So she gleaned in the field until even, and she beat out that she had gleaned. So she is in this field until the evening time. She beats out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. So once again, whether they break for lunch or a meal or whatever it is, or if she had a good day with this or whatever, she's back in that field. This precious sister doesn't stop. By the grace of God, she's not like a Vashti. See, Vashti in that story of Esther, she was given so much, she was the choice one, but she let it go to her head. This precious sister, in her heart, she knows that this grace is just too much, I want more. And she doesn't go out there to work to show off herself. She goes out there because she knows it's for her good. She knows it's for her abundance. She knows that that's the only place where the fruit is. It's his field. She doesn't want to go anywhere else. And matter of fact, she doesn't want to lay off. And then it says here, she beats out what she reaped. Now this beating out can speak of many different things, but I love this thought tonight. It speaks of rightfully dividing the word of God. She kept nothing but the grain. See, when you would beat out, you'd beat out the chaff. They'd do it in different ways. But they would have a threshing floor where they would beat that on the ground. And what would come for, what would be left would be the grain, the beauty, the, if you will, the meat of that fruit. As the word of God says for us to feast upon strong meat. Amen? And that's what she went after. That's what was left. And she was left with that bushel of barley. Now, I want to stop here for a second because she went out at barley harvest. I know we've been in chapter 2 a long time, but it talks about that in chapter 1, verse 22. She was there at the beginning of the barley harvest. There's something very precious about this. There are, according to Jewish holiday and Jewish calendar, I should say, there are three main harvests. Three, okay? And I bet you can guess which is the first harvest. It's barley. You know it. And barley is also known as the overcomer harvest. I believe the first harvest will be an overcomer harvest. Praise God. It's the first month in the Jewish calendar as well, too. It's Aviv. The next harvest is known as is the wheat harvest. The wheat harvest also is known, in a way, if you will, it's a multitude harvest. Think about Revelation. You've got the overcomer. You've got the innumerable multitude harvest. And then the last harvest of the three is the grapes. Well, if you think about the grapes in the Word of God and how that can be such an encouragement of Israel, you talk about the 144,000. So there's your third harvest. Isn't that wonderful? So you can see even that wonderful type and shadow what we have here in this first harvest of barley. Now, look at what happens here when she takes it and the depth of what's told to her in verse 18. So she takes this ephah of barley, and she took it up, and she went into the city. And her mother-in-law saw that she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. So let's think about that and listen to it again. So she takes this fruit. She takes the meat of this fruit. We take the meat of the Word of God, and she took it up. And she went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. Where are you going to take the meat? Where are you going to take the word of his grace? Where are you going to take the abundance of the fruit that he's given you? I believe you're going to go into a city. Amen? And you think about the mother-in-law. Remember our study about the Hebrew wedding? Remember, as in Genesis 24, where does Isaac take Rebekah when she finally lights off that camel? into his mother's house. I believe that's her mother-in-law. I'm going to take the fruit into the city. I was just thinking about how Brother Hill said the fruit's in the barn. Yeah. But that fruit into the city, into the mother-in-law's house. Then you get into the 8th chapter of Revelation and you know how that begins, don't you? Silence in heaven for a half an hour. Something gets consummated, I'm confident. And I'm confident that's in the mother-in-law's house. So you can say that I get out there a little ways, but I'd encourage you, get out there. Because it's there. And it's amazing how wonderful, time and time again, we see this same love letter, don't we? It's always the same. I love you. I love you. I love you. I'm coming for you. Hallelujah. He that shall come will come. Praise God. So this is a glimpse for us. Praise the Lord of what will be for us someday. Now, going on to verse 19. And her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. Listen to that. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. Isn't that something? All of this transpired and she's been out in that field and all these things. And now she comes home and says, and by the way, it's Boaz. It's his field. And it's just so beautiful because this is going to set off lots of different things. The beauty, the fruitfulness of Ruth is appreciated by Naomi. Isn't it wonderful? See how that started? So she says, where hast thou gleaned today? Where hast thou been? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. Because of the fruit she had. See, do you realize that as we travel on this way, amen, if we've really hooked those camels up with the one that's going to take us to the bridegroom, that's the Holy Ghost, amen? That's that wonderful servant of the Father, the Holy Ghost that's taking us on this journey. Do you realize as we take from the wonderful Holy Ghost, he gives us the things of Christ, he shows them unto us, that we take those things? Do you know how delighted the Holy Ghost is? How pleased the Godhead is? Isn't that wonderful how she says to her, blessed is he that did take knowledge of thee? Does the Holy Ghost whisper that to you as you take the things of Christ? Do you know how you are blessing the Son? Yeah. It's here. This is your life in Christ. Don't miss it. Don't miss this. This is so romantically beautiful and encouraging to us. But the fruit of Ruth is appreciated by Naomi. It's just like the Holy Ghost as we become fruitful of grace. And just like Haggai, the chamberlain, as he got Esther ready to go before the king, blessed is he that lays eyes on you. See, the Holy Ghost knows what he's doing. Because he's the one that's searching, seeking the true worshiper that will worship him in spirit and in truth. The Father is that one, but he has sent the Holy Ghost to find that one. And this is that chamberlain, the keeper of the women. And remember, Mordecai said to Esther, take only what he gives you. Don't take anything else. We're going to find that out here, even, God willing, next week in chapter 3. She took all that Naomi told her. Everything that Naomi told her, I will do. Do you believe the word of God like that? Do you believe the depths of the gospel of Christ like that? Because Paul's gospel is ministered to you one way. That's by the Holy Ghost. Take it all. I believe that. Because it's the word of God. Amen. So this is that courtship that was going on. So this is ravishing. Praise the Lord. The word of his grace makes us ravishing to the Godhead. It gives the Father praise. Because we're glorifying and magnifying his Son. It gives Jesus, hallelujah, praise and blessing. because he sees his wife getting ready. And oh my, the Holy Ghost, the one that's taken the things of Christ and showing them unto us, the very comforter and power of his might, the blessing to the Godhead. It's exciting, isn't it? Thank you, Lord. Now, verse 20. And Naomi said unto her, daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near our kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. Isn't that our Jesus? Praise the Lord. And he died for us. Praise his name. But he died, praise God, is even the type in this. He redeemed us to have a wife. Yes, he did. Praise God. It wasn't just redeeming us to have another maiden in the field. He wanted to find that one that was going to search grace. She's going to be my wife. There was a double portion for him, praise God, that he wanted. So she expresses to Ruth that the might and strength of this family member. Verse 21. And Ruth the Moabitess said, he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. Oh my. Now, Ruth says to her, not only did I meet him, not only did I get in his field, but he favors me. Have you ever said that back to the Holy Ghost as he's ministered that to you? Oh, he favors me. I see that I'm highly favored. I finally get it. This is mine. Come on. This is mine. I get that. I'm highly favored. You ever run around your house like a nut? The Holy Ghost gets you. I'm highly favored. He loves me. He adores me. Yes. Thank you, Lord, for that grace. That's what feasting on grace will do. That's the eyes that will come enlightened in your life and in your heart. To understand this wonderful love message of God. Amen. So here it is. This is kind of the delirium is starting to build. Amen. He's attracted to me. Ruth knows it. He likes me. Matter of fact, he wants me to the end. Did you notice that? He wants me to the end of the harvest. Now, brothers and sisters, she's starting to really understand my beloved is mine and his desire is toward me. Amen. And we understand this, but have you not grown in that? I've grown in that ever since I was 17 years old. And I've grown in it through these series of Gentile brides. I've grown through it, praise God, from week to week studying about Ruth. How much I'm his. How much, praise God, his desire is towards me. She gets it. And notice again how fast, by faith and grace, she knows it. See, faith and grace will take you there immediately. But without faith and grace, you'll never get there. It has to be faith in the grace of God, the word of his grace, the power of this grace. Not the goodness of you or the power of you or I don't feel something. He chose you. He put you in this field. We're all in this precious field, if you will, of Boaz. You wouldn't be hearing this message if you weren't in the field. Amen. You know it. He put you here. Okay? Now, you're amongst the maidens that are, in a sense, available for marriage. Okay? You're there. We're feasting on this. Stay in it. Because you stay in it, praise God, you know the end of the story. There's only one ending. Midst of the throne glory, ruling and reigning jointly together with him, glorified together with Jesus. Praise God. All right. Faith in grace, she knows it. Now, how do we even know this even more? Because the Lord and his word and the meaning of his word in searching out these things, those two words, keep fast. Did you hear that? Ruth the Moabite said, he said unto me, thou shalt keep fast. That means cleave, pursue, and join together. Sounds like marriage and marrying words to me. Cleave, pursue, join together. Amen. Think about that. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Pursue. Press for the mark, for the prize, for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And then join together. Bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Amen. It's just, I mean, my goodness, what, we've gone through four verses tonight? And we're going through speedily, if you will. But they're just layered, and it's endless, of this love. So no doubt what's on the intent of Boaz's heart, he wants Ruth for his wife. If you'll listen to Paul's gospel, there's no doubt he wants you for his wife. There's nothing else he has for you. That's it. Paul's gospel has one ending. I do, I'll go. He's mine, I'm his. It doesn't lead anywhere else. The Holy Ghost goes one place on the journey, and that's to the bridegroom. That's it. Praise the Lord. Went to the people of God, amen. Go find my son a wife. Amen. He's out there in the field. Well, that one that came to the well, let's see. Well, this is the one. Praise God. And notice, the well, the word of his grace. Amen. So there we go. Over and over and over. So as we see this, and we'll close this off here tonight, as in this next couple verses, we see that first love to the end of the harvest. He says, stay with me, as it says there, they have ended all my harvest. So to the end of the harvest, don't leave. Once again, staying in first love. This wasn't just something to come visit the field. This was great. We had a really good time of fellowship. Wow, he really loves me. I'll see ya. This is stay in the field. Amen? Now, let's read a little bit more about this staying in the field. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. Now it's getting real intense and real specific again, isn't it? She's getting witness after witness after witness. Stay in the field of grace. Stay in that doctrine. Preach no other doctrine. Amen? Preach no other gospel. This is it. This is the word of his grace. This is the mark for the prize. There's nowhere else to go. This was the encouragement. And where she says it is good, that word good means fertile. I believe as Christians, we want to be fertile. We want to be fruitful. We know where the fruit comes from for us to be fruitful. It's in that field of grace. Praise the Lord. So it's a fertile place for us to be. And that is the truth of the abundance of fruit he produces in us when we go out unto him out from among the camp. And notice, where does she go and who does she meet there? She'll meet the maidens, the eligible virgins for marriage. She meets with brethren of like precious faith. They're out there for the same reason. I believe we're out here in the field tonight for the same reason. Amen? We want to marry Jesus. We didn't just say, well, it's Wednesday, let's go find a Bible study. Uh-uh. I want that field. I want Paul's gospel. I want that fruit. Praise the Lord. This is it. There's nowhere else to go. And that's where Naomi says, go not anywhere else to meet. But notice this. I want you to understand. Don't go to any other place to meet. She didn't say go follow the brethren. She said go out to that field of grace. And the fellowship with the brethren are there. Amen? See, and I've seen this before. And I've seen it in not just this meeting, but even with other meetings. People get attached to people. And things happen because God will let things happen. And people will move with people. Brethren. Didn't say that. It says you meet the brethren in the field. And if those brethren aren't in the field, you don't go meet those brethren. You go meet the new brethren that are in that field. I don't know. But it's that field. There's little subtle things that mean a lot. We put no confidence in man whose breath is in his nostril. We don't lift up a man. Ever. That'll stumble you. It'll hurt you. And God will see fit. There were those, I'm sure, in many ways, you think about even with David's life. David, that run that in a sense of glory that was upon his life was so beautiful, amazing to watch. I'm sure people began to, in a sense, worship David. But God loved David too much. God loved those people too much. And God loves his word too much. That's not going to happen. Let me show you something. But you know what? The mighty men still stayed with the word of God. And with the anointing of God. There were ones that fell away because they had the confidence in the man and not in the word. Know this. It's important. This is a precious little encouragement here. Finally, in verse 23. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest and dwelt with her mother-in-law. I just think that's funny. Never mind. I'll get in trouble. All right. But notice here, it's the virgins of Boaz, and it's not anybody else. The virgins of Boaz gleaned all the way to the end of the harvest. And matter of fact, that barley harvest is listed there. You gleaned to the end of the first harvest. Stay in love. Amen. We don't want to be like those of Ephesus. Great, wonderful, beautiful church. Love them. But they left the first love. I do not want to be in that place. His grace is too immense. And I know it's got to be just the grace of God that finishes this in my life. This isn't just because Jesse's determined or Jesse's purposeful. This is because my confidence is in the grace of God. My confidence is in the word of his grace. And notice here too, it says, and with her mother-in-law, there was no leaving the leading and encouragement of the Holy Ghost. Quench not the spirit. Don't ever quench that spirit. Encourage people to worship. Encourage people to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Encourage people to continue to worship the Lord in that precious tongue. Don't be ashamed, and we should gather the much the more. And not just gather in a meeting, but gather at an altar. And I'm thankful the Lord is doing that. We can see an increase in that, and I thank the Lord for it. As I've said many times, I love to see people in the church full. It's wonderful. But even more than the church full, I want to see the altar full. The altar full, full of praise and full of thanks and full of tears and lifted hands. And praising God that we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Solomon's life was powerful in the times of his life when he lifted his hands to God and worshiped him. When his life went on and those years went by, those hands stopped being lifted. And that gaze was turned away to false gods. Don't get cold. I thank the Lord, and I appreciate that. Whether it's the mossy backs or icy pews, don't ever let it be in this place. Ever. Because it'll die out. It'll snuff out quick. But here it is. Don't even need to tell you, as I said earlier, you don't even need to know the end of the story when you follow the leading of the Holy Ghost. You don't even need to know the end of the story when you just go to the place of the field of grace where all the eligible ones to marry Christ are hanging out. Ruth is going to get the bridegroom. But we're going to read till the end of the story, Lord willing. You enjoying it? I pray you are. This is some mighty stuff, and I thank God because He's a mighty God. He loves us very much. And it only gets more powerful because I know Ruth is very pleased and thankful and everything, but Naomi knows she needs more. She needs more. She can marry him. Naomi knows it. And Naomi's going to tell her exactly how to go get him. Praise the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Let's stand and be dismissed. Praise His name.